Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Gypsy Wagon Hour.
Howdy,
Hello,
howdy.
Are you there? Howdy, howdy. How are you?
I'm here.
Good, good. So let's start the show my favorite way. I've been waiting all morning to get grounded and meditate. It's been kind of a hectic day yesterday, some big medicine work coming through, and then today as well, kind of like a tornado of energy. So let's see if everyone that's listening, let's take a moment to really ground into our center so that no matter what's going on around us, we can be really, really rooted in with the earth and really present with ourselves. So you can push those feet into the ground if you're sitting, making full contact, feeling the toes, the heels, even the arch. If you can imagine and visualize the arches of your feet sinking towards the earth. And then let's set the intention that the Earth Mother, that Pachamama, is sending her love and her groundedness and her vitality, effortlessly sending that up through our feet. Just set that intention and wait for it. Feel it pulsing up through your legs and see how far it can go up through your hips into your belly, letting the mother's heartbeat, pulse that really earthy, grounding, mineral-rich, elemental energy coming up through every cell of the body, mostly straight through our core, so that her heart is connecting into our heart. And as you go to your heart space, notice how it might be a little irregular. It might feel fluttery, or maybe you can't contact it. No matter what, set the intention that you're allowing her frequency, her rhythmic, deep, constant beat to match and align through your core into your heart, settling it, matching it. Send a breath to the heart, really noticing how your lungs are supporting and feeding oxygen into your heart space. And for the next hour or so, let's allow our ego selves, that part of us that, you know, is fear-based, that part of us that protects us, keeps us safe, wants to figure things out, wants to know. Let's take a moment to really honor that and thank it. Thank you for wanting to know, ego. Thank you so much for trying to figure things out. Thank you so much for keeping us safe. And if you would take a seat beside us and just take a rest, take a break while we make contact with our body, with the earth, with our breath. I'm noticing a lot of activity up above the heart, in the higher heart. So it's really needing some attention for a lot of you. So take your left hand and go up, you know, in your upper left chest and kind of give it a rub, make contact, let it know that we're present with it. Nice calming breath, inhaling through the nose, exhaling through the mouth in whatever way feels good. And push that hand into your upper left chest, pushing in, really diving into that upper heart space, allowing any fear, any sense of depression, any sense of uncertainty to be witnessed, and then be settled. Now I'm noticing that you probably have a sensation in your belly. So bring that left hand down to your belly. Second chakra, survival, fear, emotions. We're in the energy of Cancer right now, which is an ocean of deep emotions. So take that left hand and again, rub clockwise, saying it's safe to stomach life. It's safe to process. It's safe to feel. It's safe because we're in contact with ourselves, and we're taking this moment to let ourselves know that we're here for ourselves, and no matter what, we won't abandon us. And we can witness other stuff, but ultimately, we really have our own backs. So nice big breath and breathe out any excess energy in the belly, any excess emotion. And we'll finish this guided meditation with our mind. So go to the back of your eye space, that part that wants to see, wants to know, wants to witness. See if you can relax those little muscles right behind the eye. Perhaps getting a sense of how that connects into your third eye, the all-knowing eye, the extrasensory perception eye. See if they can make a truce. The witnessing eye, the I into the we eye, that pituitary gland, that space that sees more than just what our own eyeballs can see. You set an intention and a prayer and ask that the angels and our allies and the elementals and Father Sky can come in and support us in that connection of the all-knowing eye with our own personal eye. And may they make a truce, and may they work together. And may we only see that is of our highest good. And if you can get a sense of that, and then a sense of your entire body all at once, connecting in, rooted to the ground, information from Father Sky, nurturance from Mother Earth, and our own witnessing and contacting of our body. So these truly are some intense times. These are supposed to be, when you're ready, you can slowly open your eyes and get a sense of your room and your space and of my voice coming back to the present. And again, noticing that, you know, July was supposed to be more of a, you know, Mars moving forward, a lot of those retrograde planets moving forward. And so here we are, we're moving forward in our lives, and we have, you know, all these opportunities coming in and all this activation of many, many things, many events and sensations and feelings. But what's happening is that, you know, we really have to take, if we can, a moment to process all that stuff that got stirred up during the retrograde. Like there was like this chaos, this fizzle. And so even though I know that July tends to be, you know, the sun's in full activation, we just had the summer solstice, things are really progressing a lot. We've had a lot of awarenesses about who are our support, who are our human allies, and who is unfortunately stuck in that chaos and not able to see the big picture. And that can be really, really intense. So, you know, it's important to take respite times to really enjoy, especially outdoors now that it's warm and nice. So, and playfulness, childlike playfulness and some fun and some water activities and some gardening and yeah.
Because
we're moving forward. I went underground. So yesterday I thought that I would have a grand adventure. And I also want to ask of you, Iggy, if you do see a call from Taos, I have a friend who helped me process my underground experience. But, you know, I live for adventure and travel. And this is our year anniversary of of going to South America and being in Peru. And I thought, you know, it's summertime, let's have an adventure with my daughter. And so we went to the Ohio Caverns, which was not our intention. This was all pretty divinely inspired. We were supposed to go to the Ohio or the Olentangy Indian Caverns. But for some reason, my ADHD, you know, following my intuition, I pulled up the Ohio Caverns, which I didn't even know was a thing. I highly recommend it. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous drive. I mean, rolling hills, farm country. We saw like a covered bridge. I mean, it was the epitome of a road trip. We're having a blast. We did stop to my hometown in Marysville to pay homage to the land that I grew up. And I wanted to show my daughter, you know, this is where I grew up and this is where, you know, this is what I was experiencing at the time. We made a mini altar and then the Ohio Caverns, you have a sweet gift shop. They have gem mining, but then they have a 45-minute tour underground, which my higher self, you know, there was a part of me, which I thought was my fear-based self, was letting me know, like, this might not be, you know, what you think is about to happen. And I was just like, oh, whatever, I'm not listening to that. This is cool. There'll be crystals underground. I've been underground before. And it was about halfway through the tour. Well, it started about 5 minutes in. The tour guide, there's about 10 people, maybe more in this group. Coolest little tour guide. He was super cool. And, you know, the group looked great. And everyone's excited. There's children and adults. And Shay was super into it. And we go down in. And he turns out the lights to show us what it would be like to be, you know, 60, 80, 100 feet under the ground with no lights. And we're in this. It's basically a riverbed that, you know, was carved out 400 million years ago. It was a river underground. And so, you know, intellectually, I'm like, you face so many fears, you know, you do medicine work, like, this is not going to be a big deal. But yeah, when he turned out the lights, the panic came in. And I thought, you know, this is probably past life. It's okay. And I was doing all my medicine talk that I would say to other people, I'm saying to myself. And I'm like, it's okay, little Dawn. And whoo, my system was not having it. It was a panic that came in. I started getting dizzy. And the cool thing about it is that part of my life pattern is, maybe some other people can relate to this, is that a lot of times in life when I'm uncomfortable, I was taught to suck it up, deal with it, hold it in, you know, don't cause a scene. And that's happened multitudes of times in my life. I mean, even through my birth process, I was in excruciating pain, something didn't feel right, and I wasn't able to say, excuse me, stop what you're doing. Or say a couple years ago when I was going through the dentistry stuff, I would get a dentist who really had no compassion or wasn't able to be present with my level of powerlessness of them being in my mouth and doing all this intense work. And I go, excuse me, I think you need to stop, please stop. And they wouldn't. Well, I gave myself a promise that recently, that the next time I was in a situation where I needed to take care of myself, that I would do so and not rely so much on others to try to empathically connect into me and go, oh, I see. So it started out, we're underground, I'm starting to get dizzy, my heart's racing, and something ain't right. And there's a couple in front of me, an older couple, and I go, I'm not feeling so great. And they ignore it. They're having a blast in the cave. And then it occurred to me, this is my chance, you know, you use your voice. So I, excuse me, walked all the way up to the front. I need to leave now. How do we do this? You know, I need you to get someone to get me out. And I just want to say hooray for breaking old patterns, because really that's a lot of what we're here to do, right? Connect with others, break old patterns. And he got this girl right away, and she's taking me up, and then she stopped, talked to this other guy in this other tour, and goes, hey, something's going on with my walkie-talkie. I said, you need to figure that out later. I'm in panic mode. Something is wrong. I need to get out of this cave now. I need you to get me out of this cave now. I kid you not, she turns on the flashlight. She goes, well, we can go the back way through the dark. And I went, absolutely not. We're leaving the way that we came in. That girl was about to take me to a mystery tunnel up a shaft. I was like, there's no way. If you don't want to have to carry me out screaming. Shay was pretty cool and understanding, and we got home, and my daughter is able to see energy. It's very cool. She's a very powerful little medicine girl in the brewing and the making, and she normally she sees greens or brown or greens and red is typical. So most Americans walk around, at least that she's seen, in a red state. That's more of a primal, you know, upset, triggered state. She's witnessed this. There's also a lot of blues, green when people are in healing and peace and heart centered. So normally I'm in the blue or the green. Sometimes I'm not all the way full. I really like asking her about this. So last night, I didn't even ask her. She goes, "Mom, you're all brown." And then she says, "I've never seen someone who's all brown before." And I'm like, okay, that's not good. I'm going to call my good friend Megan in Taos, who is, you know, she's an amazing medicine woman herself. I invited her to call in. And she helps. She can really tap in and see stuff. And so there was a guy that died in that Ohio cavern, and he had had she was able to witness that he had had a pretty traumatic, you know, lights out, was stuffed in there waiting for a rescue party. And me being an empath and a healer, I had, you know, and also knowing what it feels like from past lives in this lifetime of being trapped and being powerless and not being able to get out, and the panic that comes with that. I mean, I had my first panic attack at age 7, which is not common. And that level of sheer terror. And so, yeah, we were able to luckily transition him through. And if she wants to, you know, talk more about that, she can. But, yeah, she was able to help open that up. And I went out and connected to the earth and let that drain out and still clear out residuals. But, you know, I went to check in with Shay after my phone call with Megan and the release of letting the spirit, which she said had a party waiting for him, that search party he's been wanting for God knows how long, came to him in spirit, cleaned him off, released him. And so Shay, I said, "What's my energy now?" She goes, "You have absolutely none. You're just empty right now." And which I felt, I mean, it felt totally drained. But I told her a smidge in a child appropriate version of what had happened. And she said, "You know, now that you say that, I saw that brown color as a figure around you," which gave me the chills. I'm like, good God, why did I ever step into this medicine? But you know, it's good. He's healed and he's released. And, you know, they said in the caverns that about every 2 weeks, someone has to get out. And whether that's because they're claustrophobic or maybe they are empath sensing that. So, you know, hopefully there's a good clearing. It could definitely use some shamanic, you know, blessings over there on that land. I mean, they said that was native land. So who knows the whole story, but long story short, what an adventure, right? Jeez, wasn't expecting that.
Shay's like, "I'm staying here in the tunnel. I'm staying here."
Yeah. She's like, I was going to go through the whole tour. I was good. I was enjoying the crystals.
Thanks,
that take 500 years. Yeah, right. She's probably a little embarrassed, I'm sure. It's not comfortable having a healer as a mom, I'm sure. Sometimes she's like, "Would you not do that? People don't do this. People don't dance in this in lines. They don't do yoga right now. Oh, my God. Mom, embarrassing me."
No, you taught her a good lesson, though. I mean, she saw you empower yourself. You were going to, whatever you're going to do, you're going to survive, and you're going to do what's best for you. You showed her something that was very valuable.
Yeah, it
may have been funny at the moment or kind of awkward, but still.
Yeah, we diffused and talked about it. I said, you know, mommy's not been able to say, normally I want to keep everybody else comfortable. I mean, in the past, if this would have happened 10 years ago, I would have went through that whole 45 minutes, and at the end, they would have had to carry me out on a stretcher because I wasn't going
there.
Oh, geez.
Well, you did what was right best for you. There is a phone call on here. I'm not sure. It's an area. It's a 614, but I'm not sure what your friend's calling from. So.
Oh, sure. Let's take it. Let's see what's going on.
Let's see
what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello there.
Hello, caller.
Hello, you're on the air. Anyone there?
Your number is 946, so we're talking to you if you want to talk. Maybe they're just listening.
Maybe they just want to listen.
I'll put
them
they
want to be
home.
More connected.
That's right.
Did you try a couple times?
Yeah, but it happens.
Okay. Well.
Probably in the bathroom. I was joking.
Like,
I'm in an ornery mood right now. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. So the other notice things I've been having is a lot of with water. Water's been talking. Have you noticed that? Remember when we did that, hosted that water blessing a few years ago?
Yeah. That's funny you said that. That's funny. Because I was just thinking about that. Yeah, water's just like been really, you know, because we haven't really had a lot of it this summer. Mm-hmm. We've been kind of dry. And I was just thinking about that water, how powerful and how essential it is to our lives.
Yeah.
To everything on this planet.
Yeah, she's talking
about
the water.
I mean, you can go without food for a while, but you can't go without water for too long.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there's those, I don't watch the news, but it's on sometimes at my salon job, and they're talking about nitrates in the water, and then I got a packet from Columbus Water, and they were like, hey, guess what? We promise our water's safe. You can drink it. And I'm like, oh, no, something's going on with the water, and I think it's wanting some love. Due for a water ceremony for sure.
Yeah, we did that. We did that one year over there by Tuttle Park. We did it down there by the Only Change of River Road.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, Alex.
Yeah, your sister was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good one. Yeah. Well, there's something about the water, and it keeps, you know, my intuition keeps popping in. So, like, you know, callers, listeners, if you want to do your medicine work, like really taking some water and blessing it, you know, we could share different ways. I really enjoyed how you did it. I remember throwing crystals in the water and taking, you take bowls and pray over it, pray over your water before you're drinking it.
Yeah, just, you know, you just change the vibration, the intensity, the feeling, the love. It's just like you and me. You know, when you acknowledge it and you embrace it and you love it, you can't help but respond.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they've done those. They've done the scientific experience with music and vibration. And I watched I watched several documentaries on water, but one talked about just speaking into your water before you drink it. I like to take my first cup in the morning. When I wake up, I always like to start the day with a cup just to flush out toxins, and luckily at my kitchen window where I pour the water is where the sun comes up, and so I hold the glass of water just clear up to the sun and say good morning to Father Sky and let the water kind of get purified by the sun, and then I whisper love or peace into it. There's times too, because I know that our water, I don't know how many people know this, that our water is kind of devoid of its natural mineral and pH content, which is why spring water is such a big deal, because it's, you know, it tends to come from the earth, so it's full of those minerals that we need. But Hocking Hills has a nice spring that Aster showed me years ago, and I remember drinking that water and just feeling so different. So you can drink, even if you filter your water out of the tap, you can drink your 8 glasses a day and be like, why am I still thirsty? Especially in this heat and weather, we're losing a lot of salts and a lot of minerals. I've been personally taking, and I posted a picture of it on my Instagram page, calcium, magnesium, and 72 minerals, which is it's derived from their little supplements from coral from, I think, the Caribbean or something.
Okay.
And so I've been doing it that way. But in the past, too, I've recommended just a quick sprig of the pink Himalayan sea salt in your water. You don't really taste it, but you know about that one.
Yep, you get a little pinch and it makes it a little sweet. Well, here's something people don't know, Don. Water is a carrier. Water carries energy. Water carries messages. Water carries vibration. So water will pick up anything that's been put in it. So this has been scientifically proven. This has actually been shown that there is actually medications in your water, the water that we drink today. I mean, there's aspirin, there's hormones, there's all kinds. They're not tested legally. They don't have to test for that stuff. They just have to test and make sure that it's clean to be drank, but it's parts per million, whatever that is. But you're drinking water that's, I don't want to say, I don't know if there's something contaminated, but it has more in it than you probably need. Probably more than you want.
I heard birth control. Birth control. People flush their birth control, their pain pill. Yeah.
Pain, heart medicine, you know, you name it. Oh. Sometimes when you take medicine, your body doesn't break it down and it just goes out your butt and goes into the screening system, breaks down in the water over time. I mean, but that's the consequences of the society we live in.
Right. The way the industrialization set up for overpopulation and, you know, my mom, she worked for the, you know, the government, and she was very wise in the sense that, you know, I can ask her questions. She said our biggest concern too is one is disease, you know, letting it a disease, and then it's chemical warfare. And the other one is our water, you know, without, like you said, without water, we will not live. And that is,
right.
It is not in a happy state. I mean, water's been trying to talk to me. I'm like, I'm busy. I have two jobs and I'm raising Shay. But water has definitely, and then I pulled from my Oracle card deck today, water. So that's why I wanted to bring it up and see if enough of us, you know, really bless it, honor it, and change, put some water, you know, back into the collective that has been blessed. Perhaps, you know, at least do our part, right?
Right. That's important.
Yeah.
Do your part. I agree.
Do
with
our
you.
Part. And no shame and guilt for not doing what you can't do. Just gosh, because that just will carry through the environment as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of
our part. Our part will help.
Yeah. Yeah. Just whatever we can do, for sure. The other thing I've been getting is gratitude, which, I mean, every single reading I have done in probably the last, I don't know, 30-ish days, I always go by, I say everything has been a month.
Well, from the time we do the show, yes, it has been a month.
About a month ago. Well, yeah, that's true. But no, in general, I'll be like, I saw so-and-so. Oh, it's probably been about a month. I have, anyways.
That's funny.
So, is gratitude to every single reading. And I, you know, I haven't, again, taken too much time to tap into gratitude, but what I have been doing is been doing prayers more, you know, invoking in great spirit and the collective and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, thank you for when I'm driving my car, I'm just like, oh God, thank you. And a lot of thank yous to the earth and gratitude is coming up specifically though around connected into forgiveness. And so there's definitely been some forgiving, grieving and forgiving, which I have noticed around with the people that I've been doing readings with. And gratitude for our careers and stepping, there's some kind of link into people really wanting to step into more with their careers and their work, and Spirit's letting me know that there's a formulation that can be helpful right now. One is really settling into forgiveness. So like I was just talking about, you know, even shame and guilt around, hey, let's bless the water. Like some people taking so seriously, like, I set that intention and then they didn't have time beating themselves up. So I'm sensing that there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, kind of beating themselves up for what they haven't done. And there's a pull to really start appreciating what we are doing, what we are acknowledging, what little bit of, you know, care for others or self-care, what we have been doing. And so it seems to be that the reading is pulling towards a gratitude for ourselves as well as the things around us. So I would highly recommend, and I'll probably do it myself, you know, no shame and guilt if I don't get around to it, but like five things that, you know, what I did do. I don't know about anyone else and I don't know how your mind works, India, but at night I do this review of what I didn't do. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, you didn't do this on the list. And I've been doing this change where I go, what did you do? Oh, you took your daughter on a grand adventure. Oh, you fed yourself, you know, a superfood smoothie. Like, instead of going, you ate you ate fast food on the road trip, which I didn't, but if I did, like, oh, you did this, like, it's like that wolf, whatever wolf you feed is being activated, and it's really important with all the fear around right now to feed that loving wolf, like, look, you know, it's not Pollyanna, because I'm not super in, you know, I'm into authenticity, I'm not into, like, let's pretend everything's all love and light, I can't stand that you're with me.
I think that's why we're good friends. That's why we get along.
Because you're not into the Pollyannas either?
Yeah, I'm
Pollyanna
not into
energy.
That.
Oh, it's just not real, man. I can't. I mean, I get that it's helpful for some, and I'm sure, like, when I think of the Flower of Life teachings and sequencing, there's a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm deep down jealous that that's their soul path, but I can't help but my ego say, they're just avoiding real life, or wait till you have some, you lose someone in your life, or I don't know. But I don't want that
at.
To happen. Yeah, for sure. I'm all about that. So the forgiveness theme coming through is about stepping into more joy, for sure, for July. There's a pleasure of the senses, how you're speaking to yourself. So, you know, when you hear that voice saying, you didn't water your garden, or you aren't a good enough parent, or you should have fixed your, you know, took your car in a month ago for an oil change. Like, really, if you can help, not just for you or your family, everyone, but just the whole collective, for us to get out of the fear-based energy, start with yourself. Start with being really gentle and loving those shadow parts. We can't do it all. Can't do everything. Certainly can't. Checking into what, if anything else, is coming up with that. Yeah, there's still like some grief. I know you had been mentioning that you had been sensing some collective repressed emotions of people, and that it's kind of been around you. Or
yeah, it just feels like loss. Feels like grief. I mean. People are really checking out, like physically checking out too. I'm like passing away. I had a friend whose daughter died just recently. Another friend who just passed away was part of ULE who got me to the drumming in there. And so I was just like,
whoa,
what is up with what's going on? And then, but then you feel the people, other people's emotions and feelings. You know, we're both empaths. So we feel that naturally. And we've learned how to turn it down a little bit so we don't get overwhelmed by it. But there's this feeling of like, wow, you know, just like people don't know, you know, I think people are coming in when you awaken. I think awakening is also understanding that, you know, we have a limited time on this planet as well in this physical form. And I think that's kind of scary for people because when you awaken, you see that and you know that, but there's more than that. You're more than that. You're more than just flesh and bones, you know. You're much more, but for some people, that's a very difficult part to accept because they've always known the 3D version of themselves. So it's hard to say, hey, you know, I have those moments where like, you know, I'm going to die one day. You know, if I have a moment where I can't breathe, I have these kind of a panic. I'm like, I can't breathe. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, and I know it's not me. It's like, it's part of me. It's entwined with me somehow, but you just feel it when there's gasps in the universe, there's gasps in the planet, and where people are just feeling their suffering.
Wow, I get that. When I was having a hard time breathing in the cave, it's so funny because there's a big part of me for sure that has. I mean, I got the blessing and the sadness and the grief of losing my dad at 24, and he slowly drowned on lung fluid, so it was a very tense death. And you know, he had his hospice bed, and so I got to see in my early 20s what it's like to face death and to be scared to die. He was very scared, and so therefore, I have worked my entire life after that on finding, you know, the meaning of life and why are we here? What's going to happen? Which I don't, I mean, all obviously all those are subjective, but I do know there is more. And because I have such a sense, like you're saying, that there are more and that we are eternal, I think part of the reason for the panic that I've heard, and this is just a part, is that we're all here to do something. So if we subscribe too much, like you're saying, to the 3D world of, you know, collecting things and how do I look to others? And if we, you know, all those things are okay. And it's part of the human experience. I mean, we are here to touch, taste, feel, and, you know, but when it's lost that who are we really and what are we here to do? And if, you know, and there's a sense of urgency, I know for a lot of people when they come see me, like, wait, I think there's something else that I'm supposed to be doing. You know, what is my, I try to help them discover what are you here to do? Because I think you cross over each, I have a feeling that I would, you know, that we would cross over much easily if we at least participated in part of our soul contract, what we came here to do.
Yeah. And for
Does
me,
that
it's,
make sense?
Yeah, for me, it's the part of the scary part about me, the transitioning part, is missing all the things, all the people I know and the things. But you get to a point where you physically just can't and you're just ready to go. I mean, I think you get there because everybody I've ever worked with who's passed away always kind of gets to that point where it's like, you know, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just hard to think that that's going to come out of my mouth one day and possibly, you know, I'm ready. You know, but I don't.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is I'm not afraid because I know I'm more than this body. I get that. But it took me a long time to figure that out. It took me a while to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to lose this body. I want to stay 20 all my life. You know, but you evolve. You mature. You change. You open. You learn. You read. You talk. And that's how you gain this knowledge and you gain this wisdom and you gain all these things. And you're always gaining. You're never stopping.
Boy, I thought that I wasn't afraid, but boy, put me underground and let me feel trapped. And I was like, I don't want to die.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an interesting battle of, not battle, but it was such an interesting witnessing looking back at my wisdom keeper who's like, Sean, you're not afraid of that. You have lived already and you have plenty of life left. Like my higher self knew that, but boy, that part of me, whoo, but it also was connected to someone else, so it made more sense. but maybe it'll change. I actually have not
mm-hmm.
witnessed any deaths yet where I've heard of them and I can visualize it in my head where people have lived their lives and they're ready to go. But I haven't. I have only really seen people leave too early. I mean, according to, you know, or you know, I've seen children's deaths and I have seen people, even my grandmother, you know, she was horrified to leave, like she just wasn't ready, and so hopefully I can witness that in a lifetime, because so far I've only had the, you know, that death happens too soon or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
but I get it.
Let's just live each day to the fullest, and boy, there is no time. I keep hearing this, man. There is no time for shame and guilt. There is no time for beating ourselves up here because we got too much. We're in like this huge cycle of transitioning. You know, we're just at the baby beginning of the new age. And I fully believe in reincarnation due to my daughter talking about it as soon as she could speak. I mean, I wasn't really into it or cared, but as soon as she, you know, was one and a half, two, and started talking, she's just like, I was your mother. Oh, when I was in the war. And I'm like, what the? So I truly believe that, you know, we'll have more opportunities to help bring in the, you know, this new world. I have no expectations of what's going to happen. Focusing on what I got going on this lifetime, I did a tradesies with an astrologer who I met at Momentum. And found out this month that all 3, I think it is, if Megan calls in, she double checked my chart, but there's all these aspects. Remember, Iggy, I always talk about Lilith, the Lilith and Eve, and I'm like, where the hell did this? Well, I'll come to find out that the asteroid that is Lilith, there's different aspects. There's the black moon, there's her asteroid, there's bubble, there's 3, and I have all 3 in my sun and ascendant. So really I'm here to start to not care what other people think and to fully be myself. And it's very wild and it's very primal. And I think I've only begun to step into it. So I've had this huge reflection month of, like, or it's only been a couple of weeks since I've did that trade and got that chart read, but it was really perfectly timed, to be honest, because I know that, you know, part of the Lilith energy, I couldn't believe it when he said that. I was like, I literally had her archetype come to me several years ago and start teaching me, and how cool, before I even knew where she was in my astrology chart, you know, I had a sense that I was supposed to teach about this repressed. And I mean, really, she can tap into the whole last 13,000 years of people being repressed, and now they just can't anymore. And now all this fear, repressed fear and grief and all this stuff is coming up. Maybe that's why water's coming in, possibly, to say, hey, I can help carry through healing if you pay attention to me. I don't know why, but that circled back around.
Hey, the answers are in the questions you seek, right?
Ooh, I like that.
Like the old Buddhist monks, those shamans, those old witch doctors, you know, they don't stress anything, you know, whatever. Walk down that road, and when you get to 2 of the forks in the road, you got to pick one. That's it. That's the meaning of life. See ya. You're going to live either way.
Well, no doubt. You're going to live or die, whatever. Well, I found, I'm super into Bach flower remedies, and Astra had told me about yarrow, and then I was really feeling sick from empathy and taking on too much of the stuff. And there's this yarrow environmental solution that Bach flower remedy makes, and I ran to Pearls of Wisdom because I was just like, I feel like I've been stabbed in the inside from too much energy out there. And I was reading the book that Pearls of Wisdom has about the environmental solution, and it literally said it was like the shamanic, you know, tincture. Yarrow helps, especially for those in urban settings, because really, like, if you were determined a medicine person, you know, and possibly other cultures or in the past, you know, you'd be set aside and fed. And I've seen it in movies. And then I recently watched a documentary of the Wisdom Keepers of the Andes. It was super cool. Oh my God, I loved it. I went to send you the link to it. And you know, that was their job. It's very odd to, like, have this calling of certain kind of work and then also be doing so many other jobs at the same time. It makes for too much. So anyways, this yarrow tincture, it says it helps that, like, empathic bleeding from the inside out. And I thought about 3 minutes, 4 drops, it just started to, I could feel everything sealing up and healing inside. So if anyone out there is empathic, I highly recommend that yarrow, and thank you, Megan Sink, for recommending that. That was a lifesaver, because it was too much. There's too much going on right now. Everything's shaking up and quickening, and you know, I'm doing healing work, and then I'm going to the grocery store, and then I'm going to take the car in, and then I'm going to my other job, and then I'm doing parenting camp forms, and I'm like, I don't think this is how medicine workers did it in the past. It's a lot.
That's funny.
It's a lot. I'm just saying it. It is a lot. But I guess, you know, it's up to us to take care of our own selves and say, nope, that's too much.
That's funny. I don't think they did it like this.
What'd you say?
I don't think they did it like this.
They certainly, I mean, that's what it said in the description of the yarrow, and even just watching the, different documentaries and stuff, or, you know, you read a book about the witches that were burned and, you know, back in the Salem trials. And before that, you know, I was recently reading, it was a fantasy book, but it had historical, like a historical content to it. And, you know, this woman, that was her job. She went to her garden. She grew her herbs. People came to her for, you know, a health reef or a tincture or stuff like that. And it's not like she was then going to, you know, she didn't have any other jobs. That was her only job. And people would bring her, you know, chickens and food and energy exchange. And I suppose our capacity now has expanded since mm-hmm. the past. Course, that would only make sense. I don't know.
I wonder what I would have been.
What you don't know what you were in the past life?
I don't know what I would have been in the past life. You were a clown. You were on the comedy show.
Thinking that, I was like, you have a very, very hearty energy of laughter and joy and lightening things up for sure.
Yeah. Just, I can see that.
Dance does that for me. Dancing mm-hmm. allows me to be free. I haven't been doing it enough because, you know, there's only so much time, but I'm definitely setting the intention that dance invokes in me. Like when I saw Florence and the Machines last month, I didn't know it because I was off in my own world, but Shay and the woman I came with were like, you know, every person was staring at you because I just become like a wild animal. I was like beating on the ground with the drum sounds, and this lady came up to me who was beside me, and she goes, I'm really enjoying how much you're enjoying this concert. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'm just getting it out. I'm free. Freedom dance, man. Freedom dance. So, yeah, hopefully I'll get to do that more.
I like that.
Let me check in and see what time it is. What time is it?
Yeah, it's 12:47. Let's take a real quick break, and then we'll come right back, and then you can wrap up your show.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, give you a little break.
We'll breaky break.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com. Your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You're listening to The Gypsy Wagon with your host, Don Thompson, from Dawn of the New Era.
Hey! Oh, man, that hour went quick.
Yeah, sure
I'm
did.
I'm a jibber-jabber. Like, I have so much to say.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to mention that, as well, that I have my first co-creation workshop. If you're in the Columbus area, it's going to be in Clintonville at a little studio called It Looks Like It's Open, and you can find it on my
mm-hmm.
Facebook page.
I like that.
So, and I know it's the coolest. It's the cool. They also have like a green Tara shaman visualization, which this woman that performs it or hosts it, she's very humble, very powerful, very adorable woman, and I really enjoy her trances. It's called a trance. But yeah, check out It Looks Like It's Open, and my friend Tassine, who has a published, she recently published a mandala adult coloring book, which is very fantastic. She's going to have a book there, and I'm going to channel through. If you enjoy the meditation at the beginning, I'm going to do a channeled meditation about connecting our heart into the universal mother heart. And then we've got all the supplies. You get to draw your own like henna design that's frameable. And then after that, I'm going to do a closing meditation. We're going to have snacks. It's going to be a good time. And I'm pumped because I've been, you know, really wanting to take my teachings and stuff into more of a group setting. So this will be a good time. That's July 16th at 3:15.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, it's gonna be a good time. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then Rootwire. Ooh, hopefully I'll have some fun stories next month about Rootwire. Rootwire is a festival about an hour away from Columbus. I don't even know where it's at, but it's gonna be, you know, a weekend long food, kombucha on tap, and they have a freaking free healing tent. I used to want to work at it, and then I mm-hmm. thought, why on God's name would I want to work at something that is such a fun party? I want to experience it. So they have, you know, massages, Reiki, spiritual classes, and I want to, you know, it should be a good time. It should be
good.
A good time.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. And see, I think that's about it that's going on. So I do have a poem that wanted to be read to end. So are you ready
okay.
for it?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is from the Wee Moon calendar. I don't think it's from this year, 2014. Nope, this is this year's. And it popped out and it said it wanted to be read. I read it a while ago. This poem is called Going Forward. Today I removed the rearview mirror from my van. It's been dangling there, taunting me for too long. Have you ever baked a cake and forgot to add the eggs, or you added too much water and found it cracked when you pulled it out from the oven and tried to paste it back together with frosting? And the more you tried to fix it, the more it would crumble. There is no going back. Eggs can't be added to a baked cake. Remove the mirror, eat the cake, and drive on.
I like that.
And that's Surma. Suzette Winona Summers, she wrote that in 2014. Yeah, it just, I felt like the poem, now that I read it again, it really connects then to the theme that I want to leave everyone with, which is, you know, having gratitude for what is, not trying to fix the past. If you have repressed emotions, grieve it out. I'm really good at, and I know several people who are really good with grief. Just get it out, have gratitude, and let's eat the cake and move on and just, you know, find our joy here.
Awesome.
Keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Very good.
I guess that's a wrap then.
That'll be a wrap. And hopefully, you know, we can dance this month. Some dance parties. I set the intention.
Yeah, we'll just dance a little. We'll dance our way out of here. How's that?
Okay, perfect. Goodbye, everyone. Talk to you next time.
All right.